A Problem Shared with Tony McGinley on Kerry Today.
Yeah, Tony McGinley with us for Problems here. Tony, good morning to you. Thanks for joining us again.
And a very good morning to you, Ger.
Tony, we're going to start with a query that came in late last week. We mentioned it briefly at the end, but this was a listener who said they had a lot of health issues in the last few years that's limited their physical activity. They have autoimmune issues, fatigue, and they've withdrawn from friends and are in low form. And they've had counselling, I've been to a doctor, but just can't seem to feel better in myself. Look, it's difficult place to be, that's for sure.
It is a very difficult place. It's like any, you know, physical or mental sort of thing that hits you like a brick between the eyes. It can stun people, literally. Something comes into their lives and suddenly a whole bunch of stuff is cut out. However, if you give in to it, if you allow it to take over your life, you will limit your contacts. And whatever contact you have, I mean, it could be just a phone call, but, or, you know, the odd cup of tea with a neighbour, that sort of thing. But if you limit your contacts with other people and with life in general, it will bring you further down. So that's an almost 100% guaranteed rule. So basically what I would say, that as much as you feel depressed and down and beaten and all the rest of it, you need to struggle to keep your contacts. You know, ring an odd friend, have a chat on the phone, go on the internet or whatever, and use WhatsApp or one of those things. And, you know, keep contact. The other thing I would say is very important is things that keep us going, or interest. And, you know, whatever kind of hobbies or reading, or if you do a bit of art or play music or whatever, force yourself into doing, you know, some few minutes a day anyway, because our interests are very important, you know, to keep us, as it were, in contact with life. And if you give up all of those, you will feel very isolated. You will feel more depressed. You will have less energy, and so on and so forth. So what I would say is, in as much as you feel you possibly can, push yourself into doing those few things, and it will, to some extent, help.
Yeah, it'll lift the mood. Okay, Tony, great stuff. We have another query in from a listener that says, loneliness has been affecting me in recent years and it's notably progressed since I moved house. To be honest, I do miss some of the good neighbours I had. I'm pretty sure other people must have a similar problem. I'd appreciate a discussion on it. I suppose a lot of similarities with the Tony, in terms of pushing yourself out there.
Yeah, it's a very similar situation because, you know, when you move house, especially when you're a bit older, you lose all friends that you've had for the last 50 years or whatever. Well, you don't lose them, but they're further away. They're not easier to contact, much more difficult to contact, and so on and so forth. So how would we deal with that? Well, if it were me, I would make contact in as much as I could. Again, use the internet or telephone or whatever. I would try to make a few new friends in the locality. You know, call around, say, I'm Josie up the road, and I'd just like to say hello, and, you know, and maybe we can have a cup of tea some stage, or whatever. You know, if you can push yourself to do that, it's very good. Again, the other thing that helps a heck of a lot in those situations is hobbies and interests. And people, you know, poo-poo it, you know, they're not important. They are hugely important for the mental well-being of all of us, really. Only I think a lot of the modern generation don't seem to appreciate just how important. Because it's not what we are in, you know, watching. Like watching something on television is inactive. Our brain is literally turned off and stuff is just flowing in. When you are involved with whatever, music, art, you know, countryside, gardens, workshops, whatever the heck. But once you're involved like that, it's pulling your brain out. There's an outward contact. And that is the huge difference between, you know, watching telly or being entertained with something or other. And yeah. The other thing then, of course, that helps an awful lot is your purpose in life. And no matter what age you are, you can be of help to other people. And, you know, whatever it is, you know, you could, if there's a local charity, you could give a couple of hours in a week or whatever, or it might be just literally calling around to some neighbour worse off than yourself and you know, bringing a little cake or something like that. And so some sort of focus like that is very good. And the other, of course, the other huge one, again, is our belief systems. And, yeah. You know, if you have a good, strong belief, whatever it is, Muslim, Catholic, whatever, it doesn't matter. Once you believe something and focus upon that, not only does it give you sort of reassurance that, you know, when you die, it won't be all over, but it also gives you contact with other people. So they'd be my sort of list.
Yeah. And volunteering, if you're in a new area and you don't know people, volunteering could be a good way to get to know people from
excellent.
There.
Excellent. It is an excellent way of doing it, yeah. Because you meet the right sort of people. Generally, people who are well-meaning do that sort of work. So you will meet, as I say, a more decent segment of the population that particular way as well. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Tony, stay with us. We're going to talk a bit more queries to get to. We'll get to those after we take these.
A Problem Shared with Tony McGinley on Kerry Today.
Tony, a query you want to get to here. There's been a number of deaths in our family over the last number of years. When someone close to us dies, it starts, in addition to grief, some heavy-duty thinking about life after death, religion, God, and the purpose of life, etc. And sometimes the future can look pretty dim.
Yeah, that's one I've heard before. In fact, a lot of times down the years, you get that sort of situation. Because suddenly, people that you depended upon or communicated a lot with are gone. And that, of course, starts a whole process. Well, anybody with half a brain anyway starts a process of thinking about life after death. And, of course, once you start thinking in that direction, you're either an atheist or you have some sort of belief system. And, you know, I think we've spoken about this before, I'm sure. There's a heck of a lot where science is beginning to enter into the proof that there is more to life than what we can see, as it were. And one of those areas is the astrophysicists, those people that look out into the universe and the vastness of the universe, the age of the universe, the evolution of life on our planet and in the universe itself. And they're coming to a realization, and there's a sort of a phrase now running through that science, which is, you know, that there's an intelligence in the universe. Mm. And some will actually use the word God. No, a lot of scientists are anti-God. They're sort of, you know, it has to be proven before
science first.
You know, I'm
yes.
accepting it. But you know, once they acknowledge that there is in the universe and in nature, in the very miniature creatures that crawl around in the muck, as it were, right up to the vastness of the universe and so on and so forth, there is an absolute set of laws. Now, they're different places, because you have things like black holes, which have a completely different set of rules to the normal. But, you know, one has to admit that there's an intelligence built into the universe. And that's where a lot of scientists now, not huge amount, but I'd say maybe 30 or 40% of scientists have some sort of God focus in their mind.
Yeah. So don't despair, you know, is the message, Tony.
Yeah. It's a good thing to have a belief. And some people are, you know, I grew up in a Catholic house in a Catholic country. And you know, nobody questioned their beliefs. Nowadays, everybody is questioning their beliefs. And I think that's because the world has progressed. It has become more scientific, and people have become better educated and so on and so forth. But even though I have, you know, have progressed a bit in my science, I still believe that there is some sort of intelligent creature, or some sort of intelligent creature is the wrong word, because you immediately focus on an animal. There is an intelligence in the universe. There's no question in my mind. The other area that has been picked up by science as well is what they call near-death experiences. And I remember, must be 20 or more years ago, I read several books, about 5 or 6 different books, of people who had a near-death experience. They were on an operations table and the medical team were around them, and suddenly they were floating up above and looking down on what was happening on top of themselves and the others. And then, you know, they saw a light. And what was interesting was, in all of the instances I read, they all had a very similar pattern. Now, that was 20 years ago. There wasn't the sort of communication that you have now. So it would be very difficult for, say, a dozen different writers to get the same story.
The same story, know? Yeah, that's for sure. And that's for Tony, listen, we're out of time, and unfortunately we'll have to return to that one next week. But thanks for talking to us and giving us your views, as always, and answering your queries.